Scripture lesson today comes from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. You're going to hear read the first 21 verses of that chapter. But because it is the day of Pentecost, and the scripture lesson makes it quite clear that all heard in their own native language, those who were speaking, we're going to do the scripture a bit differently today. We're going to notice on the screen shortly that the scripture will be placed there on the screen in English, but we will have people reading that same scripture in different languages. And we look forward to hearing that. I might make an aside that I auditioned for a part speaking my native Southern Appalachian. I was not selected to read. But those who will be reading, I'm going to say their names and the verses and language they bring to you now, that they may just come forward one at a time and do that reading. The first four verses will be read by Marissa Lowe in Chinese. Verses 5-7 by Carol Bassett in German. I am grateful to Greg Dana for recruiting these speakers, and he will be reading in English verses 8-12. When you hear him naming all those languages, you will understand that, in a sense, he's speaking a foreign language at that time. Also, Jose Rodriguez will be speaking in Spanish, verses 13-17, and verses 18-21, Olivia Morris, and I'm going to need help in pronouncing Maori, a New Zealand original language. In this unique way, let us listen for the Word of God.
Let me invite my friends to come forward. Margaret, you're going to read this time, aren't you, in this service? Yes. We had a change, slight change of staff here. Come on up. Jose? Marissa? Come on up here. You're going to use the microphone. Olivia, yes, come on up. We're just going to read this. Marissa, you're first. Marissa's first. No, she is first. Marissa is first, and then you follow her.
五旬節到了，門徒都聚集在一處，忽然從天上有聲音下來。 好像一阵大风吹过，充满了他们所坐的屋子，又有舌头如火焰显现出来，分开落在他们各人头上，他们就被圣灵充满，按着圣灵所赐的口才说起别国的话语。
Es waren aber Juden zu Jerusalem, wohnen die waren Gott für Tage. Männer aus Israel, Volk, das unter dein Himmel ist. Darum diese Stimme geschlagen kann die Menge zusammen und wurden bestürzt, denn es heute ein. Je Gehör, die das mit seiner Sprache bedenken. Sie entsetzen sich aber alle, verwundern sich und sprachen, interreden sich, sind nicht das aller, der Reden aus Galatia.
And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
Mas otros burlándose decían, están llenos de mosto. Entonces Pedro, poniéndose en pie con los once, alzó la voz y les habló diciendo, varones judíos y todos los que habitáis en Jerusalén, esto os sea notorio y oíd mis palabras, porque estos no están ebrios como vosotros suponéis, puesto que es la hora tercera del día. Mas esto es lo dicho por el profeta Joel, y en los postreros días, dice Dios, derramaré de mi espíritu sobre toda carne, y vuestros hijos y vuestras hijas profetizarán, vuestros jóvenes verán visiones, y vuestros ancianos soñarán sueños.
Ai karingihia ano i ahau toko waira, i awara ki akupongoa tane ki akuponga wahine. Aka poripitu rato. Ka whakakaitia anō i ahau na mia, whakamiharo i tarangi i runga. Me nā tohu ki te whenua i raro, he toto, he kapura, he paua pongare. Ko te rā ka huri hei pōri, ko te marama hoki hei toto. I maue o te pōtanga mai o te rā o te ariki, Tawa rā nui whakaharahara rongo nui. Nā ko raira ora ai te hungoa, kato ki karanga anā ki te ingoa o te ariki.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you to our readers. Margaret Zwettler and Carol changed the German times that they were speaking, and the other will speak at 10. The minister, Barbara Brown Taylor, points out that the word conspire means to breathe together. Did you know that? That's right. Two ancient Latin words meaning breathe together morphed into our English word conspire. So let me ask you now to please take a deep breath. Now breathe it out. There, we've just launched a conspiracy. Shh. The National Security Administration may be listening in on us. You can also hear, if you listen closely enough, the word spirit in there too, to conspire, to be filled with the same spirit, to be enlivened by the same wind. That's what happens to us when we gather together to worship God. The Holy Spirit swoops in and out among us, knitting us together through the songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the breath we breathe. It can happen with two people, or it can happen with 2,000 people. It certainly happened that original first day of Pentecost. It happened among the followers of Jesus. There were about 120 of them gathered together in one place. They were now the ones in charge of Jesus' ministry to the outcast, to the poor, to the powerful, to the sick, but all without his physical presence. Just as he had promised, the resurrected Lord had been taken from them. And now, without his physical presence, it was enough to make them scared and breathless. But out of the blue, they heard a mighty wind heading their way. The wind blew through the entire place, filling each of them with a breath that came from somewhere else, someone else. The wind, the breath, filled them with a power they did not understand, points out one commentator. They had not asked for this breath nor expected it. This power, this breath, just swooped into the room and filled them up in a way they could have never predicted. And with it, they discovered a reserve of strength they did not know they possessed. They came face to face, lung to lung, with the gift of God's Holy Spirit, God's holy breath. And so what did they do? Once the disciples realized they could take their breath again, that they could breathe again, once they shook themselves off from their stress and anxiety, they found themselves speaking of God's powerful deeds in their lives. They all burst out into languages they did not even know they could speak. They were telling the story of how once they were no people, but now they were God's people. They once had no name, no faith, no future. But now they were God's own sons and daughters, given the breath of faith, glimpsing into a future where God was doing God's work, and they were participants in that. These timid, stressed-out disciples found themselves preaching, testifying to who God was and what God had done in their lives. And the people listened. The crowd grew. Now, yes, some in the crowd thought they were drunk, but the crowd had no other way to explain it. Then Peter gave voice to what was happening. And as he preached, I imagine all these people from near and far, strangers and foreigners, young and old, began to breathe deeper. They started to purposefully inhale some of the Spirit breath into their own lungs, and the church was breathed and birthed into being. And people far and wide, in all kinds of languages, with all kinds of traditions, began to speak of God and how God was at work in their lives and in the world. And the breath of God blew freely and wildly, filling their lungs, giving them courage and strength they did not know they had. And Christ's body, the church, was knit together and began to go out into the world. Yes, before the day was over, the church had grown from 120-some disciples to more than 3,000. Now, I'm not sure how they exactly knew that number. I guess it was a long pastoral prayer that day, and someone peeked, and 2,998, 2,900. But anyway, it grew. And these shy people had become bold people. These scared people became gutsy people. And lost people found a sure sense of direction. Disciples who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus found themselves with abilities they didn't know they had. when they opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. When they laid their hands upon the sick, it was as if Jesus himself touched them. In short order, they were doing things they had never seen anyone but him do. And there was no explanation for it, except that they had dared to inhale on the day of Pentecost. They had sucked in God's own breath, and they had been transformed by it. But friends, here's the kicker to the story. While it is a meaningful story, while it is a powerful story, we simply cannot keep it contained in the past. God's Spirit still works this way. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is at work here and now. Through scripture and prayers, through music and proclamation, through experience and relationships, through service to others in Colorado and in our own community and throughout the world. Yes, God's holy breath challenges us, comforts us, clarifies things for us. The story of Pentecost tells us, if we are open to breathing it in, if we dare to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we will find our own lungs filled with the courage, a reserve of strength, a passion of faith we did not even know we had. When in seminary, I was privileged to be able to attend the church that Dr. Al Wynn served. He was a former moderator of our denomination. And in a sermon one Sunday in that church, he told a true story from his own life about when his children were small. Dr. Wynn at that time was writing his doctoral dissertation on the Holy Spirit. And you can imagine his difficulty in trying to explain what the Holy Spirit is to four little children. They kept asking him, "Daddy, what is the Holy Spirit?" And he would keep trying to explain, and it just wasn't connecting. Wynn relates that they were living in Alabama in that time. It was the 1950s. And a great, huge riot broke out in their little town, protesting the integration of the University of Alabama. Remember, it was the 1950s, and segregation was the law of the land in the South. Wynn says that their pastor was a very shy, retiring man. But that Sunday, when he entered the pulpit, there was something different about him. With a power that none of his congregation had ever seen before, he laid his job, indeed he laid his life on the line, to tell clearly and unmistakably that every single human being, regardless of color, is precious in the sight of God. Wynn said there was a great stillness in the congregation. You could hear the person beside you breathing. There was a great stillness even among his own four children. Lives were being transformed. New people were being born. And in the car on the way home, Wynne said quietly to his children, "Now I think you know what the Holy Spirit is." And all of them nodded their little heads, "Yes." Come, Holy Spirit, transform us with your breath, with your power, as you lead our church into the future. Amen.